This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Good evening, I'm Ben Grubb. On tonight's edition of The Informer, we're speaking with Greens candidate for Higgins, Jason Ball. We'll also be speaking, Susan will also be speaking with Noah Mickelson, editorial director of the Huffington Post's Queer Voices. And tonight in Melbourne, there was a vigil, and Rachel Morrison will be talking to us about that, to do with the shootings in Orlando. Tonight, there was a vigil at Federation Square where Daniel Andrews, the Premier of Victoria, spoke. It was to, I guess, look back at the horrific events that have happened over the weekend in Orlando, Florida, and to discuss what went on at Federation Square is Rachel Morrison from the Spirit Lounge. Thank you very much for joining us. You were at the event.
I was right up the front, so I got to experience everything. Apparently, the further back you were, it was quite difficult to hear, so it's very lucky I got in early, and I found the service moving entirely.
And who was there? Who was speaking?
There was quite a few people who got up and spoke. Obviously, Rowena Allen hosted the event. So she started and gave her thoughts. Then Dan Andrews got up and spoke. Then an Aboriginal elder got up and spoke. I don't recall her name. And that was beautiful. And they had lit a fire, her and her son. Then Noor, who... he's an imam, so a Muslim imam. He got up and shared about how this is an attack on the LGBTI community, and the Muslim community are grieving alongside us, which was really beautiful. Noor has been on the Spirit Lounge numerous times, and he's a great Joy supporter as well. And then there were some gentlemen from the Victorian AIDS Council. Who else spoke? I think that was it.
And how many people rocked up to the event?
Thousands. I don't know a total count. I haven't heard that. I'm sure maybe later tonight or tomorrow there will probably be a better estimate of how many people were there. I'm not even good at guessing, but I would probably say at least 5,000. Mm. Federation Square was absolutely packed, and trying to get back here to prepare for tonight's show was very difficult. Yeah, so
it was like bumper to bumper chockers, like I almost got off and walked.
Yeah, it was.
But that's great.
It was powerful. And so at the end, the different queer choirs from around Melbourne got up and sang Somewhere Over the Rainbow and asked everyone to join in. And just the sound of everyone's voices, it was just the perfect way to end the vigil, was just joining us all together by singing. And they're like, it doesn't matter if you sing poorly, just sing. And it was a really beautiful way to close the vigil.
And what did Dan tell the crowd?
He had an incredible speech. I've actually recorded quite a bit of it. He spoke a bit about how he had said sorry to the people who had been convicted of offences when it was illegal to be gay. And then he shared part of that speech, and he said, as the voice for Parliament in Victoria, that he not only is here with us in thoughts, he's here with us in actions, and he is taking actions to stop homophobia, transphobia, biphobia, and yeah, he's very well spoken, unlike myself. And so, yeah, I'm not as eloquent in retelling what people say, but you know, Dan Andrews had a very great speech.
And if we'll be able to hear more of it tonight.
Absolutely. We will be playing some of that speech on the Spirit Lounge. And then I do believe in the next few days, The Informer will also have all of the recordings from tonight as well.
Great. And what time Spirit Lounge tonight?
8 till 9 p.m.
Great. Thanks so much for joining us, Rachel.
Thanks, you. Rachel.
Thank you. A little earlier today, Jason Ball from the Greens, who is a candidate for the seat of Higgins, joined me, and it was to discuss his battle against Kelly O'Dwyer. Kelly, in a new poll, has been shown to have, I guess her popularity has dipped in the electorate. So I had a little chat to Jason about that and exactly what his policy platform is. We've also invited a number of other people, all of the candidates, in fact, from the seat of Higgins to come on the show, and we hope to have them over the coming weeks in the lead up to the election. But anyway, here's Jason speaking to me earlier. Joining me now is Jason Ball from the Greens. He is going up against Kelly O'Dwyer in the seat of Higgins. Jason, welcome.
Hey, Ben. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for coming on. Now, latest polls seem to suggest that you have a very good chance, it seems, in the seat of Higgins. Why do you think that is?
Well, look, yeah, as you said, we released the results of a voter poll that was done by Lonergan earlier in the week, and what it showed was that Kelly O'Dwyer's vote has plummeted by 10 points, down to 44%, which is now lower than Sophie Mirabella, her vote in 2013. Meanwhile, the Greens' vote has surged and increased by 8%, leapfrogging Labor for the first time in the seat's history, which puts us within striking distance of potentially winning the seat off the back of preferences. And so it really isn't surprising to us because it confirms what we have been hearing on the doorsteps of Higgins for months now, that voters are tired of their values not being represented by the Liberal Party. The seat of Higgins makes up suburbs like Toorak and Malvern, South Yarra, Paran, Glen Iris and Ashburton. And it is territory of what I guess can be called the small L Liberals, so the socially progressive side of the Liberal Party, the people who voted for Malcolm Fraser or voted for Petro Georgiou or voted for the old Malcolm Turnbull before he backflipped on all of his progressive issues. And they don't see their values, or they don't see those people leading their party anymore. They can see that it is really being controlled by the conservative right wing. And they're finding that their values are much better represented by the Greens. And the issues that I'm referring to, mostly that I'm hearing from people, is the issue of dangerous global warming in terms of the need to transition our economy towards renewable energy to save the onset of runaway climate change. And also the issue of people seeking asylum is one that comes up quite a lot, because Australia, being one of the only countries in the world, or possibly the only country in the world, that puts children in offshore detention, doesn't sit well in the stomachs or on the conscience of people in Higgins, and they're willing to vote with their feet over it.
So you've been door-knocking, presumably?
Myself, yes. I've been door-knocking almost every weekend since last year. So far in Higgins, my team and I have door-knocked over 9,000 doors in the electorate, including 2,500 over the long weekend.
The poll do you think you've been able to convert a few people in that door-knocking process?
I had the pleasure once of actually just the other week going door-knocking with Sarah Hanson-Young, who is the Green spokesperson on the issue of asylum seekers. And we actually door-knocked on someone's house who, she was a former staffer for Malcolm Fraser, the Prime Minister. And she actually told us at the end of that conversation that she would be voting Green at this election over the issue of people seeking asylum. Malcolm Fraser is someone who brought in 70,000 Vietnamese asylum seekers after the Vietnam War. These are the values and the principles that these Liberal voters hold dear, and they are sick to death of the race to the bottom that both Liberal and Labor are engaged in when it comes to demonising people who are seeking asylum, people who just need our help, and we are turning our backs on them.
So what policy platform are you standing on? What will you be doing for the people of Higgins if you were elected?
Well, look, at a federal level, the Greens are standing up at this election as the only voice who are taking the issue of global warming seriously. We know that our future is either a clean, green future or it's no future at all. And my generation, we're the first generation who will feel the impact of global warming, and we're the last generation who have a chance of doing anything about it. We are about to lose the Great Barrier Reef. It is a global disgrace, and Australia is a laughingstock in the rest of the world when it comes to, we are the only country rolling back our efforts to combat climate change. We're the only one who got rid of a price on carbon. We've slashed our renewable energy target. We've lost millions of dollars in investment from overseas in our country in renewable energy. The Greens want to turn that around. We know that investment in those areas will create a massive jobs, will be a huge boost for our economy, and will set us up for the long term in terms of not just a safe climate, but also economic prosperity. The second issue, obviously, we think that there is a better way for people seeking asylum. We want to increase our humanitarian intake to 50,000 people. It's currently lingering around 12,000, which puts us right at the bottom in terms of doing our fair share to look after the world's displaced, persecuted people. And we know that these people will actually contribute to our societies and communities. That a lot of them are skilled and they will be working and paying taxes and contributing to our diverse, multi-faith, multicultural community that, especially in Melbourne, we know and love. And I think the other point that we're standing on firmly at a federal level in Higgins is the need to end the corrupting influence of corporate donations on our democracy. The Greens are the only party who don't take donations from fossil fuel companies or property developers or other vested interests. And we believe that we need reform. We also need reform when it comes to donation disclosure. People deserve to know who is donating money to which party and for return of favour and influence. At the moment, that information doesn't get disclosed until 8 months after the election because the old parties know that that information would impact someone's vote as they were casting their vote. The Greens are the only party who disclose all donors before the election and who refuse to take donations from vested corporate interests.
And what about at a local level, Jason? What will you be doing for the people of Higgins locally?
At a local level, we're going to be pushing for an upgrade to South Yarra Station and to include it in the underground metro. And we've got a fantastic policy that we'll be announcing next week with regard to the detail around that proposal. We also want to see a public high school built in Paran. It's one of the only electorates where there is not a public high school in it. And the people of Paran at a state level have been pushing for a high school. Sam Hibbins, the local Greens MP, has managed to secure $5 million from the state government. And we would like to top that up at a federal level to make sure that that school gets built.
I understand that Malcolm Turnbull and Kelly O'Dwyer announced a netball court recently, or at least some more funding for a netball court, I was reading in the local news. What did you make of that?
I think it is an example of how worried they are about losing the seat of Higgins. You don't see prime ministers parachuted into a safe seat unless they're worried that they're going to lose it. And, you know, it's actually an endorsement of Greens policy, because Sam Hibbins, the local Greens member, has also been pushing for netball courts to be built in Paran and South Yarra. And so it's a wonderful endorsement of Greens policy by the Liberal Party. But it's also an example of sandbagging marginal seat because they are splashing heaps of local policy announcements. And it's quite cynical in a way, the way in which they're doing it. But it really shows that the Greens are a serious challenger to the seat of Higgins, that Malcolm Turnbull and Kelly O'Dwyer are doing that.
And before I cut you off there, what else were you saying that you'd be doing for the people of Higgins?
Look, also at a local level, we want to see the Paran Mission Mental Health Centre reopened. It has been closed because of a lack of funding from successive governments. We also want to fund a feasibility study to get the number 3 tram extended to East Melbourne Station and to Chadstone Shopping Centre, which is included within the seat of Higgins. And we'll be announcing some more local-based policies over the coming weeks, but there's a few of them that I can share with you tonight.
Now, you're participating in a debate tonight and also going to the vigil for the death of the people who were shot in Orlando, I understand. On the Orlando shooting, I mean, today you posted on Facebook someone had, I guess, graffitied your a poster that you on they said FAG, fag, and you posted that to your following. Why?
Well, look, we were made aware of the vandalism to one of our signs a few days ago, and our decision then was to just clean off the flare and move on. But, you know, then it happened again, and they used a word, as you described, which actually cut pretty deep with me, as it was something that I heard a lot myself in high school, and that was when I knew that I wanted to take a stand. And I guess I wanted to send a message of strength and hope to the LGBTI community to let them know that we shouldn't let intimidation and threats to stop the march towards equality, which we know is inevitable. And, you know, these acts are disappointing, but I also think it's fairly indicative of the fact that the dinosaurs who oppose equality are actually dying out. It's a sign of desperation because they know that their bigoted views no longer have a place in a civilized society. So this is an act of last resort by them. And, you know, our community, the LGBTI community, have been attacked from all quarters. in recent times, whether it's comparing us to pedophiles or Nazis, denying us our basic rights and dignity. And this rhetoric has consequences. It leads to hate, it leads to violence, as we have seen in Orlando recently. And we can expect a lot more of this unnecessary hate if the wasteful and divisive plebiscite goes ahead. And so I'm calling on the Prime Minister to understand that if he continues with this plan, these are the kinds of acts that he is legitimating.
And just lastly, why do you think that there has been so much hate in the LGBTI community of late? I've been trying to, you know, come to terms with it myself. I mean, we saw some Uber drivers kick on two separate occasions gay couples or, you know, gay people out after kissing. We've seen this thing in Orlando. We've seen the safe schools debate, you know, kind of flare up in Australia. And we've just, I just feel like it's, you know, almost daily now where we see kind of hate and anger towards the community. You know, maybe it's Lyle Shelton one day and others the other day. So what do you think is driving this?
Ben, I actually think it's because we're on the cusp of achieving full equality, and it's those people who are now the minority fighting back. The old saying goes, first they ignore you, then they laugh at you, then they fight you, and then you win. And we are on the cusp of winning equality here in Australia, and that's why we're seeing this hatred directed towards us.
Thank you for joining me.
My pleasure, Ben, anytime.
That was Jason Ball from the Greens. He is campaigning to win the seat of Higgins. Coming up next, Ruby Susan is talking to the Huffington Post's Noah Mickelson about the latest in Orlando. You're listening to The Informer on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Joy 94.9 and you're listening on The Informer. I'm Ruby Susan and today I'm talking with Noah Mickelson. Noah Mickelson is, of course, the executive editor of Queer Voices at the Huffington Post in the US. Thank you so much for being with us today, Noah, especially given that I know you are quite busy as you are today and recently. Things have been quite hectic for you. So we do appreciate you coming on to let us know how things are going. As I'm sure you're aware, the Australian community is heartbroken and we do hope that you're all doing well and we want to hear if there's anything we can do to offer support.
Thank you for that. It's really nice to be here. And yeah, I've seen so much outpouring of love from Australia. I've seen so much outpouring of love from around the world, which has been incredible. I think I read somewhere there was maybe 500 vigils now for Orlando around the world. It's incredible.
Yeah, there'll be another in Victoria this afternoon, and our state parliament house lit up in rainbow colours recently, which was very lovely.
I love that.
It is nice to remember that there is so much love at times when it does feel like hate has had the final say. Now, speaking of moving on, I've also been hearing that there's been an outpouring of vigils from the American Muslim community. Given the controversy that's now surrounding, you know, the motives of this topic, and here in Australia, the queer community has actually been criticised for not being more critical of the Muslim community. What has been coming out from the Muslim American community and the American Muslim queer community?
I think it's really important to remember that there are queer people who are Muslim and there are Muslim people who are queer. And so it's really disheartening to me when people start to try and blame this on Islam or blame this on Muslim people. I think that the person who did this obviously was using a very perverted and twisted version of Islam. Yeah. And you know, what we're hearing from Muslim Americans is that this person does not represent them. He does not stand for what they stand for, and that their hearts are with the community. And I've seen so many beautiful displays of solidarity from American Muslims right now, and I'm really grateful for that.
A lot of the, of course, Australia's Muslim leaders have also come out condemning this attack as the abhorrent act that it is. Now, what else has been happening? I'm sure, like, gun laws. Is anything going to happen now? That's, I suppose, the big one for us. I know Australia is often being held up right now as the country that, you know, proof that gun control in legislation can actually have outcomes. Is new lobbying beginning? What is anything moving there?
You know, that everyone, anytime this something like this happens, it's almost, you know, tragically a joke, because every time we have a shooting in this country, which is literally every single week, maybe it's not as horrific as the one that happened on Sunday in Orlando, but we have mass shootings all the time.
Yeah.
And every single time it happens, people call for more gun control. And then we have, you know, groups like the NRA, the National Rifle Association, who push back and say no. So it becomes a political battle very quickly. But the important thing to know about this, you know, people are saying, why did this happen? How did this happen? And it's not any one thing. It's not Islam. It's not just homophobia. It's not just gun control. It's not just mental illness. It's all of these things together, and we have to really take the big picture to try and understand why this happened.
Yeah.
And that's how then we can try and make sure it doesn't happen again. But you're absolutely right. In terms of gun laws, America is out of control and out of their minds. And we just did a story yesterday where one of our reporters went to Orlando, just a couple miles away from where the shooting happened, and in 38 minutes, he was able to buy the same assault rifle that this person used.
The thing that does come out a lot, of course, is that the issue with calling this just a terrorist attack is kind of detracts from the gun issue because, you know, people are saying you can't judge one Islamic extremist on how everyone uses their guns. Now, NRA has come out recently saying that gun control laws wouldn't work, and they've actually, I only saw the headline, but they're saying it's Obama's fault. Could you just explain to us Australian listeners who don't quite understand what kind of an argument they are actually trying to make here?
I think that they're basically trying to say that Obama, you know, and Trump has been saying this too, is that Obama hasn't gone after quote-unquote radical Islam hard enough, and that he's let these things happen, and that it's not the fault of guns, it's the fault of not being hard enough on terrorists. You know, I think for most of us here in this country, no, I won't even say most of us, because there's a lot of crazy people in this country. I think for most of the people in the community, at least, who are pro-gun control and who are pro-Muslim, they think that that's, you know, just patently offensive. And but that's what we're dealing with here.
Yeah.
I think it's hard sometimes for you guys to understand the mentality and the temperament of what goes on in this country, because it's hard for us to understand. I wake up in the morning and I think, where do I live?
Yeah.
You know?
Everyone here at Joy and across Australia is there with you in solidarity for what's happening. And we wish you all the best.
Thank you so much. It means a lot. That's what can come out of this, is that we get stronger as a community here and around the world, and that's a good thing. So
no,
thank you, Ruby, and I'll talk to you soon.
I'll talk to you soon, Noah. Take care.
That was Ruby Susan talking to Noah Mickelson from the Huffington Post's Queer Voices. We've had a text come in from someone, Stefan. Stefan asked from our earlier interview, will the Greens make it easier to bring my overseas partner to Australia? We will ask Jason, and next Thursday we may have a response for you. We'll also, you know, if you have any questions, or make sure you email us onair@joy.org.au, and we can ask the candidates for the seat of Higgins on Thursday nights your questions. You're listening to The Informer on Joy 94.9. Thank you to my guest today. Today's head producer was myself, with additional production from Stephanie McLean. A full rundown of today's show will be on the Joy website shortly. For a podcast of today's program and our other stories, visit joy.org.au/The Informer. I'm Ben Grubb.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.